Loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. And you can laugh about that, but you might have done that as a child also. Many of us would grab a coin out of our pocket and, well, should I or shouldn't I? And we'd flip the coin and, oh, I really don't like that answer. Let me try again, all right? And we'd flip a coin to see what we should do. And as a Christian, you need to understand, we've got a better method than flipping a coin or pulling petals off of a flower. Amen? If we want to know what we should do in our life, it is spelled out in the Word of God. Amen? It is clear. It is plain. The plan of God for you and the will of God for you is specifically spelled out in the Scripture. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2, the Word of God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go ahead and let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, I pray and ask that you'd help us today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to apply your word to our life. Lord, I pray that you'd just do a great work in our lives. And Lord, help us, Lord, to understand what the will of God is. Help us, Lord, to seek out your plan for our lives. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A famous preacher once said that a successful man is a man who finds out what God wants him to accomplish with his life and then fulfills it. That's what a successful person is. That's a very profound statement I've got typed out there. The true measure of a man's success is not his social status, his money, influence, or fame. It's simply doing what God wants him to do when God wants him to do it. Amen? And that's really what the idea of success is. The purpose of this lesson is to give the individual a clear understanding of what the will of God is, as revealed in the Scripture, so that he can begin to accomplish those things that God would have him to accomplish. The first thing we need to understand is that we need to understand what the will of God is. And I don't think we're going to understand what God wants us to do or the plan of God for our life until, first of all, we understand what the will of God is for our life. The will of God is always clearly spelled out in the Scripture. The will of God for me and the will of God for Judy Brown is really the same. For PJ, for Paul, for Brother Nick Norton, the will of God is always the same. The will of God is always found and clearly defined in the Scripture. Matter of fact, you will not find the will of God outside of the Word of God. And if you will try to find the will of God just by flipping a coin or pulling petals off of a flower, you're going to be in deep trouble. Anybody can convince themselves of anything if they try hard enough. Even wrongdoing. We can go ahead and justify wicked behavior if we try too hard enough. We can say, well, you know what? God understands. I was talking to a man a number of years ago, and I found out that he was shoplifting. And I said, look, you can't do that. That's wrong. And his response was this. He says, God understands. They've got all kinds of that stuff in the store. They don't need it. And my family needs it. And we're broke, so it's okay. I said, no, it's not okay. It's wrong. Amen? You see, he was trying to justify his poor behavior and try to justify what he was doing. But the will of God is clearly spelled out in the Scripture. Like, for example, thou shalt not steal. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, we all understand that. We know that God's will is for me or Troy or anybody else here, we are not to steal something. Take something that does not belong to us. That is spelled out in the Word of God. Amen? And so I want you to look at what the Bible has to say concerning the will of God. And remember, the will of God walks hand in hand with the Word of God. And as you are walking through life, if you want to know what I should do and what I should not do, open up this blessed book and it will tell you exactly what is right and what is wrong. Amen. I've had a conversation recently with our mayor here in town, and I said, Joe, I said, you need to determine right and wrong, not based upon what you think or what I think
or what government thinks. What is right and what is wrong is, and where we draw the line for what is right and what is wrong is based upon what God has to say. And God has given us His book. Amen. It's called the Bible, the old King James Bible, and God tells us what we should do and what we should not do according to His word. Now, I realize that that might sound a little old-fashioned in the 21st century, but listen, God's word doesn't change and God's will does not change. Amen. And so I want you to notice what the scripture reveals, and here's just a partial list. I mean, there's some things, but I think this kind of is an overview, these seven or eight things that I've got down here that kind of reveals what the will of God is. And remember, the will of God for me, the will of God for you is always the same. So what is it? Number one, God wants you to know His will. God did not create us to walk aimlessly through this world and grope in the darkness saying, I wonder what God wants me to do. The Apostle Paul told the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You ought to fill that in. If you got a pencil, you ought to fill in that blank. Understanding. God wants you to understand what His will is. He does not want you to grope aimlessly in the darkness. He wants you to understand what God's will is. And not just understand it, but go ahead and do it. So number one, He wants you to understand it. I realize that some people think that ignorance is bliss. It is not. I was talking with a preacher a number of years ago, and I was sharing with him some things that I found out that we should do according to the law as churches. And this was his response. By the way, he pastored a fairly large church. He had a Christian school. He put his fingers in his ears like this and said, "Preacher, don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know." You know what he was saying? Ignorance is bliss. He did not really want to know the truth. He wanted us to continue doing what he was doing because it was convenient. We need to understand what God's will is for us. We need to understand. Number two, I want you to notice this. Look at Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 6. Here is something that every person on the face of the earth is commanded by God to do. You found your place there? Say amen. 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 Isaiah 55, 6. It says, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The next verse says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see, this tells us what the will of God is. The will of God for every person on the planet is to seek after God. I hear people say, well, you know, preacher, what about those people that are living in the jungles? They have a commandment from God to seek after God. Right. You say, well, they've never heard. Oh, yes, they have. Psalm 19, verse number 1 through 3 tells us that everybody has heard. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalm, if you would, please, the book of Psalms. And look at Psalm 19, look at verse number 1 through verse number 3. And people ask, well, you know, what about the heathen over there and in the jungles, and they've never heard about Jesus Christ? Well, there is, the Bible actually refers to two different types of revelation. Number one, we get the revelation from God from His word. Amen. That is what is called the written revelation. And I'm dropping papers up here all over the place. And then Psalm 19, verse number 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, in other words, the atmosphere, the sky, shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You say, what's that talking about? It's talking about this. God has given us what's called general revelation. Every person in the world can look up into the sky. They can see the stars. They can look out on this earth. They can see the flowers and the grass and the trees and the birds and all of the animal kingdom. And they can say, you know what? This just didn't happen by accident. There is a creator behind all of this. And that is called general revelation. Every person in the world has been given general revelation. And once we admit the fact that there is a creator, and we seek after him, God promises to reveal himself through the written word. In Jeremiah chapter number 29, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you." God promises that. And so as God reveals his general revelation to everyone on the planet through creation, if they will go ahead and seek after God, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near, God promises that he will reveal himself in and through his written word some way so that they might know more about God. And I know people say, well, you know, what about those people that have never heard? There is not a single person in the world that has never heard. Everyone has heard through general revelation. And if they seek after God, God promises to reveal himself through specific revelation. Amen. And so what is God's will for me? God's will for you is to seek after him. We need to seek after him with all of our heart. I mean, we need to seek after him after more than our boats and our campers and our vacations, more than education from a secular realm. We need to go ahead and seek after God, make it a number one priority in our life to know God. It's amazing the depths that people will go for things that really don't make any difference. You know, I know people that collect things. I scratch my head about some of these things they collect. People go to these conventions. There's a place out here south of town that they have a big bed and breakfast, and it's dedicated solely for scrapbooking. Well, bless your heart. All right, if you like to scrapbook, that's up to you. But you know, people will go ahead and forsake the house of God so they can scrapbook. There's something wrong with all of that. Amen. I think we ought to seek after God with all of our heart, not just put him somewhere down on the list. Amen. Well, if I've got time after scrapbooking, after I've got time after my hobby, I've got time after my boating and my camping and all of my pleasures of life, then I'll go ahead and seek after God. That's not seeking after God. Amen. So we need to understand that it is God's will for you to seek after God. Some people say, you know what, I'm just kind of bored with God and with church and everything. Maybe that's because you never really sought after him. That's right. My God is exciting. Yes. Amen. You start living by faith, Brother Norton, and all of a sudden you start seeing how God opens up doors and how God answers prayer. It gets exciting. Amen. Yes. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What is God's will for my life? Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Look at verse number 12, and I want you to fill in the blank here if you would please. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 12. The Bible says, gather the people together. Is that what we've done this morning? Amen? Gather the people together, the women, or the men, the women, and the children. Did we do that this morning? Absolutely. Amen. And thy stranger. We've got visitors with us. Praise the Lord for that. Not saying that you're strange, but we're glad that you're here. You're normally here, but we're glad that you're here. And thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may, the Bible says, hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. You know what church is about? Church is about getting to know him. Amen? That's what church is about. Some people think they got this odd idea that church is really about me. And I want to go to church so I feel good. I want to go to church so I can get my spiritual fix for the week, just like a dope addict. Amen? And they walk out and say, man, I feel really good. That's not what church is about. Church is about God. Church is about glorifying God. Church is about praising God. Amen. Amen? Church is not about you. Church is about God. Now, I've seen these signs around. It says, you matter. Well, in God's sight, you do matter. But the whole idea behind all of that is, you're the most important thing. And you are not. God is. And that's why we're here. So therefore, I believe all of our church services and all of our worship services ought to be focused around God and His Word. The Bible says we are to hear, we are to learn, we are to observe, to do. You know, as we hear and we observe, to do, and we learn all those things, it's going to tell us how we ought to live and how we ought to act and how we ought to speak and actually how we ought to dress. And I mean, everything. Everything about our being ought to be changed and molded according to the Word of God. Capital letter D in your outline says that God's will for you, listen, God's will for you is to be saved. Maybe I should have had that number one on the list. I probably should have. But God's will for you is to be saved. You see, everybody in this world is born into this world lost. They are born a sinner. The Bible says, whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Listen, when you stand before God, if you're not saved, you're going to stand before God as an unsaved sinner. And your sin is going to have to be paid for. And since you refuse to accept Jesus Christ and His blood as complete payment for your sin, you're going to stand before God with your own righteousness. And He's going to say, all of your righteousness is unto God, but unto me, but filthy rags. He's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's what's going to happen as a lost person as they stand before God. But when a person realizes that they are lost and realize that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, and they come before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me in Jesus' name, then He writes our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. And listen, we have a home that is granted to us in a place called heaven. God's will for you is to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You ever wonder why God is so long-suffering with people? It's because He wants them to get saved. Manuel Noriega, general that ruled over Panama for years and years, worked with a drug cartel, lived a very wicked life, actually worked hand in hand with our U.S. government, the CIA and the FBI, and turning in people. Finally, the U.S. said, we've had enough of that. They stormed Panama, took him into custody, and the rest of his life he spent in a Florida prison. You say, well, why would God allow somebody like Omar Gaddafi or Manuel Noriega or Osama bin Laden? Why would He allow them to continue to exist? Because God cares for their soul. Right. Two preachers got concerned about Manuel Noriega and began to pray for him. And finally, after months of praying for him, they went to visit him in the prison in Florida. Got all cleared, went there, shared the gospel with him. And Manuel Noriega bowed his head and prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. He died here just a couple months ago. He meant business. All of his sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
That's right.
And if he meant business with God, one day those of us that are saved, we're going to see him in heaven. We're going to see the thief on the cross that repented of his sins and by faith trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen? You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but is long-suffering to usward. If it was up to you or me, we probably would have hit the zap button on them. Well, they don't deserve to live. You know, we shouldn't be so quick to judge people. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be in the same place. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to notice this. God's will for my life. God's will for you as a Christian is to live a holy, separated, godly life. Now, I realize that doesn't go over very well in modern churches of today. That's why we're not very modern around here. Amen. We might have a new building and LED lighting, but listen, we ought to be old-fashioned when it comes to biblical convictions and principles in our life. I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, "For this is the will of God." Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Amen. It just spells it right out. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Now, let me just explain a couple terms here. The word sanctification means to be set apart for the things of God. It has the idea of living a holy or a pure life. You know, years ago, there was, regardless of what church you went to, if you went to a Lutheran church or a Methodist church or a Baptist church or a United Church of Christ or whatever it is, 80, 90 years ago, every denomination believed that God's people ought to live a separated godly life. Everyone. Not so today. Today, there are denominations that are ordaining homosexuals, lesbians, bisexual. They're supporting the LGBTQ. By the way, I looked up the word Q. I asked Google. I thought, what in the world is Q? And Brother Paul, it does say that. According to Google, it says queer or questioning. Now, listen, I know people that are of that persuasion. I pray for them. I love them. I don't agree with them. Amen. I try to win them to Christ. Amen. That ought to be our attitude. Yeah. But there are things that God has said is wrong.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
And God's will for us is sanctification.
Yes,
if you are a Christian, now listen, lost people are going to do what lost people do.
Right.
Including a whole host of sexual sins.
Yeah.
By the way, is adultery wrong?
Yeah.
According to the scripture, you say, what's that? It's where you're a married person is having sexual relationships outside of marriage. That's what adultery is. It's wrong to cheat on your spouse. Amen? Bible forbids it. But the Bible uses here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3, "Moreover, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Well, what is fornication? Fornication is a broad term that actually encompasses all sexual sin. It can include adultery, but it also includes sexual relationships where marriage is not involved. If you're single, God wants you to stay pure until you get married. That means no sexual contact. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, 100 years ago, everybody believed that. Today, very few people believe that because they don't believe the scripture. There's a reason why young ladies would wear a white dress down the altar to get married in. It was a picture of virtue and purity. People have forgotten that. And I say that with all kindness. What is God's will? Sanctification. God wants you as a Christian to live a pure and a godly life. He wants you to abstain from sexual relationship that is outside of what the scripture has to say is good and right. In Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 4, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But the rest of the verse says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let's not forget that. You say, well, preacher, you're just being unkind. No, I'm just trying to help you. I want you to understand what the Bible has to say. It'll save you from a lot of heartache in your life. God's will is for me to live a sanctified life. That's not just for the holiness crowd. That's for the Christian crowd. God's will is for you to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. There's a song I remember when I first got saved. It was kind of had a little catchy tune. It's called "He's Still Working on Me." You ever heard that?
Yeah.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But then it goes on. It says, "But he's still working on me." I have to understand this. I'm a work in progress. Amen. Every person here, you are a work in progress. And God wants to mold you and make you into the image of Jesus Christ. The longer you live as a Christian, the more like Christ you should be. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. That word present, if you study it out, it has the idea of a sacrifice. We are presenting our bodies as a once and for all sacrifice to God. That means this: we died to self. Oh, you listen, there's a lot of things I'd like to do in life. There's a lot of things that I'd like to have in life. But I said, you know what, I'm not going to do those things, and I'm not going to have those things in my life, because I need to die to self. And those things would only take me farther away from God instead of bring me closer to God. I need to die to self. It says there, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then it says holy. That means pure, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. After all that Jesus Christ has done for us, it is just reasonable for us to serve him. And then it goes on, it says, and be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is it, according to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, that needs to be renewed so we can live a transformed life? Anybody? What? Our minds need to be renewed. Amen. Our minds need to be renewed. That's why we need to look at the right things and listen to the right things and surround ourselves with the right things, because this world will have a way of dragging us down and conforming us to the image of the world and not in the image of Christ. According to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, there are three things a believer needs to view as the will of God. I always thought that God's will was, well, you know, God's got a perfect will, and God's got a good will, and God's got an acceptable will. After I've studied that out, I think that's, you might apply it that way, but I think the better way to look at that verse is this: God's will is always good. God's will is always acceptable. God's will is always perfect. Amen? You cannot beat doing the will of God. With all that said, what about the plan of God? The plan of God for my life. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6. Here is a verse that I would encourage you. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart. Amen. It will help you. This verse probably has helped me in making decisions in my life. There's probably one other verse that is a greater verse that I look at in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether I eat, drink, or whatsoever I do, do all to the glory of God. And I asked myself the question, can I do this and bring glory to God? And if God says, no, you can't do this and bring glory to God, then I'm going to go ahead and refrain from that. Amen. By the way, you can't go to the bar and bring glory to God. Amen. You can't live an adulterous life and bring glory to God. You can't smoke dope and bring glory to God. Amen. There's certain things that you just can't do to bring glory to God. You say, well, preacher, you're meddling. No, I'm preaching. Amen. There is a difference between the two. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with how much? All thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In these two verses, you find the will of God and the plan of God for everyone. Amen. And remember, the will of God is always the same, regardless of who it is. God's will for everyone: trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen?
Amen.
Lean not to your own understanding. Amen. That's God's will. Listen, the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Says that two times in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14, 12 and Proverbs 16, 25. You know, you might have it all figured out, but if it's not according to God's word, then it's your ways and not God's ways. And so the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's God's will. Don't lean to your own understanding. That's not God's will for your life, to rest upon your own wisdom, your own guidance. The Bible says, in all your ways, everything that you do, acknowledge God. Those three things are God's will for everybody's life. And after you do the known will of God, he says, he will direct your paths. That's the plan of God. The reason why I am here today, and the reason why Grace Baptist Church is here today, is not because you have a perfect pastor. But well before I ever became a pastor, I sought to do the will of God. I said, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you. And I began to trust in God with all my heart. I began not to lean to my own understanding. I began to acknowledge him in everything that I did. And then he guided me and directed me. After I was willing to do those first three things, he showed me what I should do with my life. If you're not willing to do the first three, he is not going to direct your paths. Amen? In Acts chapter number 13, verse number 1 through 5, and I'm running out of time, but I want you to just notice this. Paul and Barnabas, the will of God and the plan of God for their life was, it said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so when they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And then it says in verse 4, so then being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The first missionary journey started because Paul and Barnabas was willing to do the will of God before the plan of God was revealed to them. What did they do? In verse number 2, we find that they ministered unto the Lord at the house of God, which was at Antioch. And if we are willing to serve the Lord and we are willing to do the will of God, then God will reveal to us the plan of God. And the plan was that God would send them away to preach the gospel, verse number 2 and verse number 4. Look at the second page. How does God reveal his will for my life? Let me just kind of go through this. Number one, it's in direct relationship, never in contradiction to the word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so God will go ahead and reveal what he wants us to do through his word. And in Psalm 119, verse number 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He gives us guidance. He gives us direction. He gives us protection as we get into his word. So he directs us always in accordance to the word of God, never in contradiction to the word of God. I heard a person one time say, well, you know, preacher, I'm just kind of in a dilemma. I'm married, but God has told me to go ahead and divorce my husband and marry somebody else. And I looked at that person and I said, look, God is not speaking to you. It must be the devil. Because God would never direct anybody to do something contradictory to his word. Amen. And then I want you to notice, he reveals his plan through the Holy Spirit. It says in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. By the way, Jesus is talking to saved people here. Right. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us through the word of God to reveal truth to us as a child of God. In Acts chapter number 16, verse number 6 and 7, it says, and when they had gone through Perga and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Listen, we need to listen and we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God is working in our lives. Amen. And certainly we need to go ahead and do that. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And then I want you to notice through circumstances and divine intervention. Through circumstances and divine intervention. Acts chapter number 8, verse 3 and 4, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, listen, God had a purpose for the early church, and the purpose of the early church was to preach the word. The church got comfortable at Jerusalem, and so God allowed persecution to arise so that everybody would take off and start preaching the word everywhere. We need to go ahead and understand that God works through circumstances and divine intervention, and he will guide us and direct us even through difficult times in our life. We find that in Jonah chapter number 2, verse number 10 through chapter number 3 and verse number 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah upon dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, chapter 3, verse 1, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. See, God had a plan for Jonah. Preach to Nineveh. Jonah ran the other way. Got swallowed by a whale. He got spit back up on the shore. Listen, if If you're not in the will of God, don't go on the beach. Amen? That's the only thing I can say. You never know, God might send a whale after you. Listen, God's got a plan for everybody. God's plan for you and for your life consists of specific directions. You must be in conformity to God's will before He will reveal His plan to you. George Mueller, a great man of faith that ran several orphanages in England several centuries ago that lived completely by faith, he gave five steps for his success. Number one, surrender your own will. Have no definite choice in the matter. Be absolutely neutral. Number two, seek the Spirit's direction through the Word of God. Number three, note providential circumstances. Number four, pray for guidance and wisdom. And number five, wait on God. And realize this, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Amen? I hope and pray that you will seek after God for His will. Then He will reveal to you what He wants you to do with your life. Let's bow forward to prayer, please. Father, we love You today. We thank You, Lord.